It's good to be here this morning. It's good to see you. I'm hoarse as always. I get enthusiastic and then I get hoarse. God is good. God is so good. I was just thinking this morning how that God watches over us. Yesterday I was troubled. Some of the fellas tried to slip around, you know, and undermine me. I had a vision the other night where some of the young boys was really trying to undermine me, and they were real evasive and trying to cause me problems. So last night I went and prayed. Some of the boys, it was real evasive, trying to cause me problems. I prayed. I said, God, I want you to reprove them. So they went off and had a wreck last night. And trying to deceive is wrong, folks. It's wrong. You know, Jesus said, I'll trouble them that trouble you. And when you plead with people and talk with people and do everything you can to get them to do the right thing, and then when they don't do the right thing, you just go to God about it, and God will straighten it out. I believe in God. How many of you believe in the Lord Jesus? I believe he'll do exactly what he said he'd do. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. I plead with the Lord so as not to seriously hurt any of the fellas or anybody. God sends his rain on the just and the unjust. And I pray that God won't seriously hurt anybody. But I pray that when they will not listen and they're going to cause you problems, I pray that he'll do something to shake them up and to move them back off and let them know that he means business. Because God will kill you, there's no doubt about it. A lot of people, they don't know that. You know, they think of God as being good and God as being love and God as being just. But God will kill you, folks. If you get on the wrong side of God, he'll kill you. You know, there's people in the world that are not Christians. And they're real fine people. You couldn't get them to harm or hurt anybody. I knew some folks like that. My granddad was like that. He didn't want to bother anybody. But if you get on the wrong side of those people, they'll kill you. My granddad, he'd kill you. If you got on the wrong side of him, he'd kill you in a minute. See, but he was a fine, upright man that everybody liked. They just had a little saying, don't mess with it, just leave him alone. And they did. But God's like that. You get on the wrong side of God and he'll kill you. The Lord says in the scriptures that I kill and I make alive. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I bind up. He said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. And said, all nations that forget me, I'll turn them into hell. So they shall be turned into hell. So the Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So you always want to be on the right side of God. He's tender, he's merciful, he's long-suffering, he's kind. Always forgiving our sins. And the goodness of God leads us to repentance because he suffers so long. But when you really get him upset, you really got problems. The book of Revelation speaks of God being disturbed and upset. The sinners, Antichrist, oh, they're going to keep on till they get God upset. And God is just going to literally turn the world upside down. The Bible records there that when he got upset, the lightning and the thundering begin to come into view, and voices and screaming and shrapnel, or that is, hail. And the Bible says that it was so fierce that even the great city divided into three parts, and never been an earthquake like it before. The stars fell from heaven. The moon turned into blood. The sun became as black as sackcloth of hair. And the Bible said the mountains fled away. There was no more mountains, and the sea fled away. Couldn't find no place for the sea. And God's wrath, his burning indignation, was like blazes of fire. It was such a terrible thing. And it's going to be just exactly like that. Because people are getting God upset. They're getting on the wrong side of God. See, if they'd stay on the right side of God, it would be love. It would be blessings. Saints of God that are on the right side of God, for eternity they'll have love and blessings and consideration and kindness. But those that get on the wrong side of God, throughout eternity, never another chance. The burning wrath of God will be against them. And according to the Bible, the wrath of God will never be lifted again. It'll continue throughout eternity against them that got on the wrong side of Him. Folks, that makes me want to stay on the right side. That makes me want to stay on the right side. Someone would say, well, I don't believe that, Brother Pike. Well, here's the Bible. Take it and read it. You read it. You read it. That's where I got it. I read it in the Bible. And He tells me to preach the Word. That's what the Word says. I kill and I make alive. Beware you that forget God. I'll tear you into pieces. All nations that forget me shall be turned into hell, He said. So you read it in the Bible and you'll find out that God has two sides, and one is a side of wrath and one is a side of love. The only thing is, the Bible said that when He brought forth judgment, all of them in heaven and in earth and under the earth said, praise the Lord. And the angel said, Thy judgments are true, O God, for Thou dost judge in righteousness and make war. That is, He doesn't make war out of temper. He judges in righteousness and gives every man according to their works. And He does according to His own will. He has His way in all things. He creates the good. He creates the evil. And the Bible said He has His way in both and works all things after the counsel of His own will. He said, can evil come to a city and I've not sinned it, saith the Lord? Can evil come to a city and I've not sinned it, saith the Lord? Am not I the one that sends evil? Can then evil come to a city and I've not sinned it? So then the wrath of God is upon them that do evil. The blessings of God are upon them that do good. So let's stay on the good side of God. Let's stay on the good side of God. You say, Brother Pike, is there a bad side to God? No. God is good. There's none good. He's all good. But He suffered a being called Satan to come into the world. Created him good. Created him upright. And the Bible said all the pipes, all of his organ was upright when God created him. But God created him to come into the world and suffered him to fall, to be that evil power that could take care of the wicked and punish the wicked. And the day when God dealt with Job and the people that caused Job problems, all God did was give permission. Lucifer came before him, said something to him about Job, and all God did was give permission. And Lucifer went to work. And that's all you got to do, is give place to the devil. That is, get God upset to the point that He'll give permission. And when He turns the devil loose on you, you'll find out about all of that evil and all of that wrath that I'm speaking of. And in the end time, according to the Bible, because Lucifer's been so wretched, God's going to turn the angels loose on him. And they're going to bind him with a great chain, put him in a bottomless pit, until the 1,000 years has expired. And after we as children of God rule and reign 1,000 years with him, God's going to loose him for a little season and loose the seed of Gog and Magog, and going to turn them loose again. And then in his wrath, he's going to bring fire down out of heaven as a consummation and completely end his problems and his troubles. And there won't be any more problems and troubles. Never again. Even during the millennium, according to the Bible, the great rich men, the wicked, wretched men that have reigned in power, the Bible says that they will say to Lucifer, how art thou fallen, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? Art thou altogether become as one of us? How is it that you're helpless? You're the one that made the nations to tremble. You are the one that refused to let your prisoners go free. How is it thou art fallen and become as one of us? Weak, contemptible. God will overthrow him in a time to come. Well, I said all of that to say this. The Bible said, who will not fear thee, O God? Thou art great and mighty. Who will not fear thee? I fear the Lord. The Bible said, blessed is he that feareth the Lord, or he that trembleth at my words. The Bible speaks of a people that literally trembleth at the word of God. I tremble at the word of God. I can read the word of God. I can hear the word of God. And I literally tremble because though it's the truth, as far as I know from my soul, I've said this many times, I do not know of any person, of any creature, of anything from snakes to animals or whatever, of any kind of dangers that I fear. But I quake at the thoughts of Christ, and that's the truth. I've never seen, never met, never known of anything that I fear, not even dangers. But Christ, I quake. When I can read his word and I found myself like that, I literally quiver. And the reason for it is because dangers can't do much to you. Animals can't do much to you. Snakes can't do much to you. Tornadoes can't do much to you. They kill you after that, they can do no more. The Bible said, don't fear him that's able to kill you, and after that he can do no more. He can kill the body, that's the end of it. But said, rather let me tell you who to fear. Said, fear God. The one that after that he has killed you can destroy your soul in hell. He can subject you to eternal punishment and suffering that there is no words in our vocabulary to express. I tremble, I fear, I quake at the thoughts of him. On the inside, sometimes I go weak. I can be reading about him or hearing about him. And on the inside, I melt like you took a match and stuck it to a candle. And I just wilt on the inside. And sometimes I retain no strength because of his greatness. So we need to fear God. We need to have the fear of God. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. If you ever expect to have wisdom, the first thing that you'll do is get a fear of God. If you don't have a fear of God, you'll never have any wisdom, because the very beginning of wisdom is to fear God. You love the Lord. God is good. Isn't he good? I say things sometimes and people wonder at me. They marvel because they wonder why I say it. Sometimes they wonder where I get it or how I know it to say it. But I say it because the Lord reveals it to me. He speaks to me. And he tells me about these wonderful things. We've been having a good time, especially at altar call. The ones that have been leaving before altar call has missed it all. We've been having a wonderful time at altar call. People have been getting close to God. Things have been happening. People have been getting deliverance. I said, well, I don't know about that. I don't believe that. I'll tell you what, let's prove it. If anybody's getting deliverance, raise your hand. There's your proof, the mouth of two or three witnesses. See, God's been moving. Some things has been happening. God's been giving deliverance. He's a God of deliverance. I left to move with the Spirit, and I left to do exactly what the Lord tells me to do. There's a man that came this morning, and he feels he's supposed to minister. Number of them that would like to minister, but this man feels he's supposed to minister. And if he is and the Lord tells me, then I'll have him to minister. But thus far, the Lord hasn't told me that he's to minister. I don't say that to disappoint you. I just say that in the event that I don't call on you, that you can know it's the Lord. If I know that you think like that, I ought to be able to know what the will of the Lord is. So you don't get upset. I had the vision yesterday, a day before yesterday, was it? I had the vision. I was praying. I told my wife, I looked. And when I looked, I saw a man, and he was standing like that, right at me, big fella. And he was standing with his fingers right at me like that. And he was finding fault with me. He wasn't ugly. He didn't have a real ugly disposition. But he was finding fault with me. And I looked at him and I thought in the vision, I thought, no, now he's not finding fault with me. There's somebody behind me that he's pointing to. And it looked like that he might be doing that. But the more I looked, I noticed that the finger moved around in such a position. I said, yep, it's me. He's finding fault with me. So the Lord said, he's going to leave. Said, he's finding fault with you. He's going to leave. Said, he come for his own benefits. He didn't come. Though he came to me early and told me, said, Brother Pike, I've come here for your benefits. I want to work with you. I'm at your disposal. The Lord said, it's not so at all. Said, he came for self-advantage. And sure enough, in the vision, it showed that it was acquisition and self-advantage. So the Lord told me he was going to leave. And of course he did. And my wife came and told me, said, did you know that there's a fellow that left? I said, is that right? She said, yeah. And said he was finding fault when he left. She told me what he said. You know the fault he found with me? I guess I ought to confess. The fault he found with me was justified to some extent, not justified otherwise. But he found fault because I was in my room praying and seeking God, trying to talk to God day after day for the camp meeting. And he said he didn't think that the pastor ought to leave the sheep and go seek the Lord because he wanted to talk with me. So he found fault and left. Even though I'd already taken at the first, before camp meeting started, and talked with him. Took him into my home and talked with him. Gave him the time to talk with him. You know, some people are selfish. They're gullible. And they have the feeling that they are somebody special above other people. And that you ought to do special by them. You know, no matter what you do to others, that you ought to do special by them. I said, well, Betty, I guess I should have went ahead and tried to talk with him more. And Betty said, no. Said, you do one that way, then you have to do all of them that way. Said, no. And I knew that she was right because I knew that before I ever said it. But a lot of times I stretch out. I ask God to help me not defend anybody. But it's so selfish to think that a man is forsaking the sheep when he's away talking with God to get something for the sheep. The man has been in wretched circumstance, vile and wretched circumstance. He's been in great trouble of affliction because he has done just exactly the opposite. So then I say again, it pays to fear God, and to keep his commandments. The Lord will love you. The Lord will lead you. The Lord will let you know what's going on. The Lord will trouble them that trouble you. I see your faults. But you know, the great thing about God is that there's a difference between him and man. There's a great difference. If man doesn't see your faults, he'll cater to you. He loves you conditionally. And that is if you don't have any faults or if you cater to him. But God knows all of your faults. And he still loves you. Even while you were in your faults and in your sins, God so loved you at that time that he gave his son to die for you. God so loved you at that time that he gave his son to die for you. While you were yet in your sins. And think how much God loves you now that you're not in your sins. Now that you're making an effort to serve him. If he loved you enough to, when you were in your sins, to give the best thing that heaven could afford, what good thing then would he withhold from you that is less than the best now that you're trying to serve him? That makes you feel real secure, don't it? That moves your faith. The love of God, our faith worketh by love. The love of God stimulates our faith. It makes our faith work. We think, Lord, you love me that much. My, I can believe for sure. I believe if you love me that much. So it's wonderful to have the principal key to faith, and that is love. God's love towards you and I. He so loved us that he gave us very best. Precious Heavenly Father, it grows sweeter each day as we walk with you. How sweet, Jesus. How precious. How wonderful. to feel your sweetness and your tenderness, to know, oh Lord, that through thee we've escaped death. You've taken away our sickness, Father. You've taken away our problems. You've made us to ride upon the high places of the earth. You've fed us with the heritage of Jacob. Thy blessing has made us rich and added no sorrow. Oh, Father of heaven, thou hast kept thy word to make us as a tree that's planted by the water. You've kept our leaves from withering, Father. Lord, we brought forth fruit in the season. God, you're fulfilling the number of our years. Whatever we do, you make it to prosper. I'm a witness, O God of heaven. I'm a witness in your behalf that what thou hast said is true. All that thou hast said is true, Heavenly Father. And Lord, this morning you've blessed our people. You've blessed the people of God. My people, because your people are my people, as Ruth of old said. Father, you've blessed my people. You've blessed our people. You've blessed the people of God around the world. Jesus, you've blessed them. Their cup is overflowing. I ask you to continue to bless them. Continue to help them. And though I be very little, O God, very little, less than nothing at all. And God, I ask you for the forgiveness of my sins, for the forgiveness of the thoughts of my heart and the intents of my mind, for the reflex of my body. And I ask you for forgiveness of my unworthy existence, Lord, in this world and in your holy presence. But I know that I have life in you, Jesus. I know that I have life in you. And I do exist because of your goodness and will continue to exist throughout eternity because of your goodness. I ask you to bless my people this morning. Bless this camp meeting. Heal the sick bodies. Forgive the sins. Prosper these people. Make them to be glad to come to church. And Father, when they leave, that they go away rejoicing with the divine inspiration and protection that can come only from our darling Heavenly Father. We ask in the lovely name of your darling Son, Jesus, that you grant these blessings. Heal and save and forgive. Offer us the tender mercies of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you for your presence. Oh God, we praise you for your wonderful presence. Lord, for the wonderful anointing of the Almighty God. O Ramanda Ramanaya. Father, let thy spirit be upon thy people this morning. Oh, God. Let it be upon thy people this morning. Your great and wonderful presence, oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we praise you this morning. As we wait upon you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just let God have his way. I feel his presence in a great way. Let him move you. Praise God. Lord, in your name this morning, I feel your presence, Jesus. I feel your presence, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ooh, Ramanda Ramanaya. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have your way this morning, Jesus. Glory to your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Oh God, my heart this morning. Grant it. Grant it, oh God. Hallelujah. Your name, Jesus, and your wonderful word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. it to your name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus' name. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just worship the Lord as Brother Taylor plays softly on the organ. Let's love the Lord. Invite His presence. Let's invite His presence. From the Lord comes strength. Let's invite His presence. From the Lord there comes forth a strength. There comes forth a greatness. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somewhere in the depths of my spirit today, sing it with me, rolls a melody sweeter than songs, in celestial-like strains it unceasingly flows o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Oh, it's peace, it's peace. What a wonderful peace coming down from my Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In your fathomless billows. Sing it again, can you? Oh, it's peace. It's peace. That wonderful peace coming down from my Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In your fathomless billows. Can you sing it just one more time? Oh, it's peace. Oh, it's peace. What a wonderful peace coming down from my Father up above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In your fathomless billows. I think we ought to sing it one more time. Peace, what a wonderful peace coming down from my Father above. Sweep over my spirit. I pray in your fathomless billows of love. Lift your hands again and love Jesus. Father, we lift our hands to love you and to praise you. Feeling your presence. I know that you're healing, Jesus. I know that you're bringing salvation. I know that you're lifting oppression. And you're driving away the oppressing spirits that try to trample down the mind of humanity. I feel your magnetic power here. I feel the drawing of your spirit. Lord, I can tell that the translation, that the rapture is getting nearer and nearer. And even as it was with Enoch, oh God, your people are getting nearer to thee. And they're breaking more and more the gravitational powers of the ties of earth and of the tangible side of life. And they're getting farther away from those things, Father. They're becoming more pure and more virtuous. God, they're becoming lighter in heart as the heaviness and the weight of the stone is taken away. Be with us, my Father. Place within us the heart of flesh, even flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone. Oh God, that we might walk in your ways, for we know that your flesh is the word. And when we eat the word, oh God, the heart of stone, which is the heart of Satan, the one that we're born with, Father, when we come into this world, the tomb that encloses, oh God, Lord, death, it's taken away. And the heart of the word, oh God, even your flesh, is placed within us. For that is the laws that you promised to write upon the table of our heart, even your word in our flesh, or in your flesh, my Father, in that it is the flesh and the only flesh of God. We thank you for that. May it be even so, that our flesh becomes your flesh, that our flesh becomes the word, that our heart becomes the word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, O God, that I might not sin against thee, taking heed unto my ways. Thanking you, Jesus. Thanking you for your goodness. Thanking you for your love. How sweet, how wonderful, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's sing this little chorus. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. For he's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord. Can you touch him as he? Sing it one more time. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Oh, he's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You know, it's good to have a church to where you can come and love the Lord Jesus. Place where people come together and they worship together. And the Lord is with us. He never leaves us. He's always with us. I remember when he put the ring on my finger, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but lo, I shall be with you in the time of trouble and in the time of need, which agrees with the scripture. Well, the scripture said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Sheep, little sheep, they can't lead themselves. They don't have the power to lead themselves. They don't have the ability to lead themselves. They're not shepherds, they're sheep. They can't be like the shepherd nor act like the shepherd. Because they're not shepherds, they are sheep. They are made to be led. They have a different, their nature, their makeup, everything is different to the extent of the way God has made them. A bird is one thing, a lion is another. A lion could never fly like a bird. Though in Daniel some of the animals are seen with wings, it's a symbolic thing. So then, the ministry is for one purpose, to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Because there are certain of those that have crept in unawares that has turned the hearts of the children away from the fathers and strive to turn the hearts of the children away from the fathers. But beloved friend, the ministry is to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. I said the other night, this wicked generation, you see children like the brother spoke of, the children leaving the parents and being indoctrinated with other things. See, that's the careless mothers and daddies and rebellious children. But see, we're going to change that by the help of the Lord. The ministry is going to cause this reckless thing of the church where the children of the church say, I don't need a pastor. I can do it myself. I'll go my way. God's going to change all of that. And he's going to cause all of them sheep to look back at them fathers and say, my God, we've made a mess out of it. There's only one way to get into Canaan, as our brother said. That's to follow the shepherd. When God called Joshua, they had no other way to get in there. See, they had to go in through the shepherd. See, it is true, as our brother said, Christ is with you always. Sometimes the shepherd goes out. He leaves you. But see, not a real true shepherd never leaves you. Paul said, though I be absent in body, I'm still present with you in spirit. See, when he becomes one with Christ, it's not him living, but it's Christ. He's always with those sheep because he is in the heart of those sheep. You know, I've had men to come and tell me. They said, Brother Pike said, I've been out yonder and having problems and go to do the wrong thing, and I'd hear you speak to me from within. See, it wasn't me speaking to them from within. It was Christ speaking from within. But that had been instilled within their heart because that shepherd, that mind, he's in them just like Christ is in them. He's in them to lead them and guide them. I watched this morning the beautiful thing of how that the brother folded his hands and spoke of Brother Branham, and how that representing the Lord that came up to Calvary and was willing to die that he might go down as Moses did, and then on the other side, Christ come up. Christ come up. As the Lord died to represent Moses, as it was with Brother Branham, and then the Christ of Revelation comes up on the other side. The spoken word, as in the beginning was the word, the spoken word, dying out at Calvary, that on the other side the revelated word might come, even John the Revelator, the Beloved, that the veil might be moved away, and that we as dear children might escape, having escaped the corruption that is in this world that come through lust, having escaped it by the lovely hand of God. And today, we're not speaking of the spoken word. We're speaking of the revelated word, the unveiled word. See, what's the difference? The spoken word is on this side of Jordan, but the revelated word is in Canaan. That's your inheritance. When the revelated word comes, that's the mind of Christ. That's Canaan. See, so you're in Canaan. You're over in Canaan. What a beautiful thing. Not discrediting to Moses, because who went into Canaan land? Was there anybody that went into Canaan land outside of Moses? There was no one. Moses was the only one that passed on over in the sense of the pleasure of God and went into heaven and stood right there, as we say, I say heaven into paradise, and stood there with Jesus in Canaan. The rest of them went into a natural land just to toil and to work and to raise their fruits. But nevertheless, there is that which is of Moses, as it was with the stones. A lot we could say about that, but it would be hard to bring it out in a mixed congregation. Well, there's a lot about what the Bible speaks of the broken stones and not entering into the congregation of the Lord. And how that Joshua, the Bible said concerning Joshua, See that you do everything the way that Moses has told you. Don't deviate, not in one place. And though Moses was smitten to the extent he was the Lord, he represented the Lord. He represented the body. He had to be smitten, the broken body. But Joshua, there's no record where he ever displeased the Lord to be smitten. He went right on. Moses orbited, as we say, or functioned in an earthly place, like Brother Lord said. An inheritance on this side of Jordan as to his natural. But his spirit, which was Christ, or the Joshua, see, it went over the Jordan. So then the Lord on this side, and the Christ on this side, and then the Christ reunited with the Lord. This meeting has to do with Brother Branham. Many things that we could say, but I'm just saying this, that the resurrection is in the uniting. That's why we spoke of the boats, the ships, like we did. And in the meetings, I'm reluctant to try to put too much together because it reflects people and brings forth personality, and sometimes they don't understand. A lot of times as Jesus took his disciples off by themselves, he expounded the things and they said, why do you speak to the people in parables? He said, it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And a lot of times we are allowed to do that to them that are very close. So I just said that to say this, that we're moving into Canaan. As our brother said, it's time to possess your land. It's time to take your inheritance. Isn't this what we've been preaching to you? That we're already over the Jordan, that we're already over Calvary. And folks, you've already been healed, you've already been saved, you've already received your salvation, you've already received your prosperity. All you've got to do is start praising God, thanking God for it, and enjoying it. We've done got to that place. See, didn't I say that there was another people? That one people was cut off at the Jordan, which was Calvary. But there is another people that's made for another heaven, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And there's another people that's made for another heaven. See, we're not looking forward to something coming anymore. We're not waiting for something to come anymore. We're not waiting to go on a fast to obtain something from God or to study. All of that's taken care of in Christ. We should fast and pray. The minister should fast often. But folks, we've already come into Canaan now. We're not going to get over the Jordan. See, the carnal mind is Jordan. That is Jordan. There would never have been a river Jordan made had it not been for a carnal mind. It was something in the natural that relates to the physical, that relates to the spiritual. A 1, 2, 3. But see, you're over the Jordan. You that have received the spirit of revelation, you that believe in God, you've come over the Jordan, which is the intellectual as to the spoken word. Many people was cut off with the spoken word. They never did get over the Jordan. They never did get into the spirit of revelation. But see, we've already entered into the spirit of revelation. We're on this side of Jordan. We're already enjoying our inheritance. We're praising God. We've already entered into that third heaven. I know I'd have to say something more to prove that. Maybe tonight I get a chance to preach, or whoever preaches. Maybe the Lord will bring out something about the third heaven. You understand what I'm saying? You say, how can that be, Brother Pike? If there was Moses and Joshua, I don't see how that could be. How could you go on into Canaan? Because the Bible said he made in himself twain. See, there's a Lord and a Christ. There is a division. There's a rending of the veil. There is a rending in two or twain, the separation of the Lord and Christ. And then there is a union, which has to do with the ships, as we said, allegorically speaking, taking things that are typical. But folks, this is the day of the Lord. We've entered into the day of the Lord. When John was in the Revelation, the Bible said he was in the day of the Lord. This is the day of the Lord. When Paul got into the Revelation, he was up into the third heaven. This is the day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord? Revelation. God is a spirit. That is the only day of the Lord there is. If you can show me another day of the Lord, I'd like to see it. That is the day of the Lord. This is what God calls his rest. It's when you believe and understand his will, his way, his things. You're doing what he said because the heart of stone is taken out. Wells of living water springing up within you. And as our brother said, you don't want to fill that well up with trash. the devil would like to. We've got a message we preached on unstopping the wells. Wells of living water springing up into everlasting life. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. Thought about what the brother said about the king of Salem. How many of you remember the vision we had of Salem? Where we were at Salem. And what this pond had to do with out front out here. Of the disciples sitting around it catching the goldfish. And the Salem trailer that Brother Taylor took. I remember that. How beautiful. How beautiful. Let's sing a little chorus together. See, follow me as I follow Christ, Paul said. Which means that God has raised up the ministry to take you into Canaan. You cannot go in by yourself. As the brother said, they said we will go in when they decided on their own. God said you can't do that. Oh, but we've changed our mind, they said. Moses said, too late. I, as the leadership, refuse to take you in. You can't go in without the leader. So they couldn't go in without the leader. And then when Moses transformated into Joshua, as Jesus did into Christ, then he took them on into Canaan. The revelated word. Same Jesus, same Lord, but see, not in the natural perspective, as in the spiritual perspective. He made in himself twain. This is the resurrection. If you can receive it, let him that hath eyes to see, see, and him that hath ears to hear, hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. There's something that's taking place. Let's sing this chorus together. Sing one more time, I love him, can we? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. They said, are you he or do we look for another? Folks, we don't look for another. This is him. We don't look for another. This is him. Let's sing that. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus. The Bible said it shall not be you speaking, but your heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. If you can hear the voice of him that speaketh from heaven, don't turn away from it. For the Bible said they all shall be taught of God. Let's sing this song. I love it. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's. Can you sing it again? I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. One more time. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I want you to lift your hands up with me now. Close your eyes. Don't forget, this is camp meeting. Our brother Lord has said such beautiful things this morning. Tonight, we'll be back, coming back to the fountain. Let whosoever will come, let him partake of the waters of life freely. Let him come. The bride wants you to come, and the bridegroom wants you to come. And everyone that heareth, let him say, come. There is a fountain that's open in the house of David. I think of Brother David Hauser a lot of times when I say that. A fountain open in the house of David, little Bethlehem, the house of bread, the city of David. There is a fountain. There is a fountain that's filled with blood. It flows from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath this flood. They lose all their sinful stains. Hallelujah. Don't you feel him this morning? Don't you feel him this morning? He's here. Jesus is here. The Christ is here. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is in the midst of them. Do you believe he's in the midst of us tonight or today? This morning, can you see him? They that have eyes to see, let them see. And they that have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Christ in the midst of the believers. How beautiful, how lovely, how wonderful, how great, how astounding. Not to know a man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I look at you and someone says, and who do men say that he is? I say, Lord, I don't know him after the flesh. Who do men say that he is? Some say one thing about him. Some say he's a good man. Some say he's a deceiver. I said, but what do you say? And someone said, I believe that he is the Christ. I believe that he is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Someone would say, Brother Pike, can you look at someone like that? The Bible said you're bone of his bone and you're flesh of his flesh. And it's not your living, but it's Christ that's living within you, and the life you now live, you live with the Son of God. He gave himself for you to make you perfect even as he is perfect. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Someone said, I know your father. I know from whence you are. I know. We know the mother. We know the people. We know the brothers and sisters. And they said to Jesus, he's the son of David. Said, Jesus said, how is it then that the Lord said unto my Lord, as he prayed, sit here on my right hand until I make thine enemies your footstool? If he then being the son of David has it in the spirit that David calleth him Lord. The Bible said they didn't ask any more questions after that. They had tempted him and asked all kinds of questions, and he said, why tempt thou me, ye hypocrite? But after that, they didn't ask him no more questions, because there was no way that they could answer that. There was no way that they could understand that, because the scriptures emphatically stated that Christ was to come of the seed of David. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Do you really know him? Jesus said, you've never known him. You've never seen him. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, they were standing there looking right at him. They were standing there, but as it was when they walked with him on the way to Emmaus, their eyes were holding. Cephas, the others, they didn't recognize him. Simon, they didn't recognize him. But yet they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us by the way and as he opened the scriptures to us? And then the Bible said that he just vanished out of their midst. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? While you've got your heads bowed and your hands lifted up, I'm going to ask Brother Mark to come again and dismiss us today. Brother Mark from over in Illinois. You know, Mark's name is also David. God gave a natural name to people in the natural, and then he gave a spiritual name to people when they were born again, as James and John, the sons of thunder. He made in himself twain. So is it unto every man according to his calling, so it is unto you according to your reward, whatever he hath given unto you. In the twain. You ever heard of Mark Twain? He that can receive it, let him receive it. He that cannot receive it, in that no one can receive anything from heaven except it be given him of God. If you cannot receive it, then there's nothing else left. Antichrist is coming. He is close at hand, a lot closer than you could ever imagine. What think ye of Christ? The question we asked the other night. Whom then shall I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus? And they said, Barabbas. He said, what shall I do with him that is called King of the Jews? Crucify him. I said the other night, then shall you release the flesh. Self, gullible self, infiltrated by Satan, to do your thing, to live your life, to save your life to your own gullible desires unto Satan, that you might lose it as unto eternal life and eternal riches. To free the man of the first birth that should be crucified and should die, Barabbas. In the insurrection, a murderer, a liar, a cheat, a thief, a robber. He's done all of it. Or will you release Jesus, whom we call the Christ? The inner man, the spiritual man. Will you let him have preeminence in your life? Will you give your life to him in losing your life in this world that you might save it in him unto eternal life? Will you therefore release the Christian of your life to live an overcoming life, a holy life? What will you do with Jesus? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? I believe he's the Son of God, don't you? I believe that you are that body members in particular, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I believe you've been translated into the kingdom of God, that you're hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And I believe that you've been chosen out of this world, hid with Christ in God. And that ye are in the Spirit, and that ye are walking in the Spirit, and no condemnation is in you, and you'll never come into condemnation. I believe that. I believe that you're here with Christ in God. I believe that ye are those that sit in the heavenly places. Rejoice, ye that are in heaven, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down. He that accused the brethren day and night, he is cast out, and his angels are cast out with him. And now is come power. And now has come strength. And now has come salvation. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. For Satan is among you. He goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. For he knoweth that he hath but a short time. But ye are sealed. Even the 144,000. Sealed that he can't hurt them. Ye are sealed in heaven in the Spirit. They are sealed in the earth, as to the mark in the forehead. So then, if you love the Lord, say amen. Amen. Can you believe? Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. This is a wonderful day, my brother, sister. This is a wonderful day. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. This thing, since the beginning of the world, has been a transitional change of from glory to glory, enlightenment to enlightenment, revelation to revelation, understanding to understanding, to come into that wonderful Canaan of the mind of Christ, coming over the Jordan and the wilderness of the old intellectual mind of death. To be carnally minded is death. Spiritually minded is life, peace. To come over it through the transitional changes, through the application of the blood, through that old wilderness of that intellectual infiltration of Lucifer, Satan, the infiltration from the tree of knowledge and human reasoning. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. Rejoice forevermore. Hallelujah.